let's get this show on the road. So we're going to try and do these on a semi-regular basis. Next Monday, I'm going to be at the beach because it's summer break and the kids need a break and I need a break. But maybe the following Monday, or unless Mikey wants to do it next Monday, that's fine. But we really want to try and like start doing these Shimmer community spaces with projects like you guys, or like even if the projects aren't here. Like if we got, people in the community that just want to come up and shit talk or whatever, that's perfectly fine too. But today we have Dr. Tangle from Shimmercy, and we have Alpha Rho from AbeDAO. We're going to be chatting with you guys. Can we do some intros real quick? Alpha Rho, we're going to start with you, and then we'll go over to Dr. Tangle.
Yeah, sure. So Alpha Rho, in crypto since 2 3 years ago, full time. I'm a core contributor to Shimmercy and the founder of AbeDAO. So yeah, in short.
Awesome. Dr. Tangle, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, I can continue. So first of all, thank you for inviting me as well. I'm looking forward. Yeah, I'm known as Dr. Tangle in the community. I'm a member of the TangleC core team as well. I'm mostly working on product design and engineering, and I do business development for Shimmercy together with Alpha. So it's nice that we are both on the stage today.
Excellent. JD, we got you up here, buddy. How you doing, man?
Hey, good.
Can you
Great
hear us?
day, and thanks for the invite. Yeah, happy to the spur of the moment. But my name is JD Sutton. I am program lead for the Shimmer Treasury grant fund that we have, that we support the projects in the Shimmer and IOTA ecosystem. And yeah, glad to be here.
Wonderful. All right. And anyone listening, as people trickle in, I'll just repeat it again. But anyone has questions, just throw your hand up. We're going to keep this loose, fun, probably go for about an hour. Just chat. We'll just chat about Shimmer. There's a lot going on. All right. So we did some intros. Maybe we can do like some quick overviews of y'all's projects. And I'll include JD in that as well, because I think, you kind of play a pivotal role in this whole thing. Alpha Rho, you want to go real quick, just kind of give us a high level overview of ApeDAO and like what it is you guys do, and we'll go over to, and actually, you have a cross role there with Shimmercy as well, so maybe share that.
Yeah, of course. So AbeDAO, in short, is a small community run and managed DAO. We started around the idea of doing some decent stuff on DeFi since Shimmer and IOTA community weren't that involved with DeFi, and I had some experience because I was a contributor to a DEX on another chain. So I said, why not share the experience and start some community around the idea? And slowly we built the project up. And currently we are, I would say, a hybrid between DAO, and we are also building additional initiatives. So we rounded up a team of developers as well. So we are just trying our best to learn around DeFi and build some applications, and yeah, trying to make the DAO work, create some kind of income streams, and trying to build up maybe non-traditional company or something like this, which a DAO should be, right? So that's a bit about ApeDAO and for Shimmercy. Doc invited me, I think it was a year ago now, since Shimmer EVM is still not launched. So yeah, it was the idea was to have sustainable DEX, which we all have the experience of seeing a lot of DEXs fail and everything. So we said, why not try to build something that's going to be more sustainable and something really legit. And I joined the team to be on the business development side of things. So talking to a lot of projects and just trying to make the whole circle around the whole Shimmer and IOTA ecosystem with a well-managed DEX. So yeah, that's a bit about the operational side of things. So yeah. But feel free to ask. My head is already in the summer mode. So a lot of information is inside the head, and I'm not sure which one are more important for this format. And yeah, if you have any questions, just feel free to ask, and I'll be more than happy to answer.
So I do have some questions, and before we move, I want to talk about Shimmercy a little bit more. But so you had mentioned like some non-traditional businesses, you know, for ApeDAO. Like, where do you see ApeDAO fitting into the Shimmer ecosystem? Because there's a lot of DAOs out there, but you know, after talking to you guys, I kind of got this feeling that y'all were trying to do something a little bit special.
Yeah. So the initial idea was to host an NFT sale, because we are all, you know, degens in DeFi. We are all about NFTs and, you know, just shitcoins, mind my French. So, you know, we just, when I had the initial idea, I was all about, you know, doing the research on all of these NFT projects that were popping up with Sooniverse launching. And there was a lot of rug pulls. So the initial idea that I had, you know, why not try to do some marketing and advertising about the project as the biggest, the greatest rug pull of the Shimmer ecosystem, let's say. And a lot of community members, you know, started asking questions, and they were really excited about the idea. I knew a good friend of mine from the previous work. He's an artist. So I said to him, you know, let's try to make something that looks cool. And the idea was to fund the treasury of the DAO with the sales. So 100% of the sales went into forming a treasury, and all of the holders can submit voting and, you know, let's do something with the treasury. So that was the initial idea, learning about DeFi, trying to grow the treasury. And that's how we started. But over the months and months, you know, that passed, some really, really good team members popped up, and they were very skilled in in tech side of things. So developers and that sort of things. I'm not a developer, so I'm not the best person to talk about this. But basically, guys knew how to write smart contracts, how to, you know, make front-end applications and all of that stuff. So I said, let's try to, you know, build some stuff. I saw in DeFi experienced some really cool applications. We can maybe adapt them a bit. So that's how we built our first app, which is basically an extension of how we do our governance. So we expanded, let's say, our governance. So we will have additional NFT collection, but we are not going to dilute the voting power of the original collection, right? Like many other NFT projects are doing, since we can see recently with Azuki and that kind of stuff, a lot of hatred is going towards them. So, you know, I didn't want to do things like in this way where the community will start hating on the project and that sort of things. We are all in this together. Nobody took any profits from this. So we are, you know, doing all of this together. So slowly, you know, I don't want to take too much time. Now we are building additional application which will serve to liquefy NFTs. It's called the Liquefier. We still haven't launched the public test of this. We are doing the rebuild of our application, the original application, the redesign, let's say. So it goes more towards the good coding practices and that stuff. I don't have experience in this. I just listened to the guys who built all of this. So I guess the main point of ApeDAO is to gather the community around these ideas and learn about DeFi, build for DeFi, and be just a pillar of trust in the whole Shimmer ecosystem. So I guess that would be, in short, what we are trying to achieve long term.
Nice. And Doc, I wanted to kick this one over to you. So Alpha mentioned you guys were building, you know, in his words, a sustainable DEX, which is, it's important, right? For anyone that's been around since, you know, let's say DeFi Summer 2020, a lot of DEXs launched. They had heavy incentives up front to, you know, bring in the liquidity. The token price plummets, obviously, after a while due to farmers dumping and just the market cycles and everything. And if you look at a lot of the, you know, older projects, with the exception of like Sushi and, you know, some of your core platforms, you know, the tokens are flattened, they're not moving, the governance is impotent, and nobody's participating in it. Like, what is it that you're trying to, tell me how you're making it sustainable? Like, what are your ideas around this, if you don't mind sharing?
Yes, sure. Maybe before I go to this point, this is actually a big question, to be honest. But before I talk in more detail about Shimacy, I really want to emphasize the last sentence what Alpha said, and this is trust. And this is something I really like about ApeDAO as well, because it's all this educational factor, right? Because later when you have this flourishing ecosystem, a lot of more projects coming in, it's sometimes really difficult to for newcomers, right? And we have in our space, especially in the IOTA ecosystem, a lot of newcomers to DeFi, to evaluate what is good, what is not so good, how can I evaluate this? And ApeDAO really helped in this topic. And it's basically a neutral environment where people can discuss about projects, can learn about DeFi. And this is something I really, really like about ApeDAO. So it's really good to have these kind of platforms in our ecosystem. Just to emphasize this one more, because this was something what was really important for us as well in the Shimmer campaign, and maybe we talk about this later as well. So sustainable DEX, and this is actually a big topic, because when you watch the space, a lot of different DEXs try different things right now, especially in the bear market in the last couple of years. You have seen different solutions how you could fix it. With locking tokens, with you have hard cap tokens, soft cap tokens. Some DEXs even try without tokens anymore. And we still need to figure out, or basically to see in the next bull market, how all these different ecosystems or like token economics work out. For Shimacy, we have, it's actually quite interesting, because an Alpha was a big part of this too. So we developed a completely new token economics, which is not public yet. So unfortunately, I can't really go into detail yet, because this was really important for us that we share, you know, the full picture before we launch. And we don't have a launch date yet. So for this reason, we can't already share it. We will do it probably like 2, 3, 4 weeks before we have, you know, the final green light for launch. But what is actually quite interesting, The things we developed, especially all the smart contracts we completely wrote by ourselves, we did most of this 1.5 years ago. And because of all the learnings and what we have seen in the ecosystem, which don't work, and I still haven't seen it out there. So even this 1 year, other DEX teams didn't came up to the same, you know, solution we have. So I'm actually still quite exciting how it will work out. But at the end, it's basically finding the right level of sending out tokens to the ecosystem and getting value back for the DEX, right? If this is not in balance, you get unsustainable. If you do it too less, then basically the incentive is too low and your DEX will not grow. So it's basically you need the perfect middle ground between, we call it, you know, like DeFi trilemma. So basically, you need to have the right space for all the traders. So basically, people that your DEX is, you know, easy to use, cheap, low slippage, you know, for all the traders out there. But as well, you need the right incentives for the LPs, you know, for the liquidity providers to go on this DEX and provide liquidity. So there need to be incentives, which can be a token, which can be like good trading fees. And you have to find the right, you know, for the protocol itself. So basically all the DAO members or the protocol members which are joining the DEX and supporting the DEX for long term, there need to be a right incentive for this as well. And basically a sustainable DEX is in balance of all of these three indications. And I think we have found a pretty good way to do it. But the details I can't share yet.
All right. Nothing like a good cliffhanger then. That's all right. I appreciate that explanation. So JD, real quick, I want to kick over to you, buddy. Tell me, so you guys kind of play like an intricate role in this whole ecosystem here. Could you kind of explain like what does the Treasury do exactly?
Yeah. So the Tangle Community Treasury is basically an allotted percentage that the community said from the Shimmer Community Treasury, hey, let's take this percentage. I think it was about 30% of our allotted value. And you guys as a committee make treasury for 1 year. Let's kind of see what you guys do. There's a framework that the community worked together. We built as a whole community in correlation with the IOTA Foundation, built a governance framework of how to manage this. So it's strictly run by the community. We're going to be set up in the Marshall Islands here in the next week or so. And it's interesting we chose there because in the Marshall Islands, there's an operating agreement and we can dictate to say this operating agreement is legally binding by this GitHub framework, meaning essentially that the community ultimately decides how we run. And we are legally bounded by that to follow that framework versus other countries. It's always sort of, in theory, it's a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization. But at the end result, there's always about three people that have legal precedence in power over it. But the Marshall Islands is really setting precedence here that it is truly a decentralized autonomous organization. So the committee, as a committee, what we do is we will review grants that are submitted to the Treasury. I think we have had already over 3.7 million grants, about 46 in the first quarter of operations submitted to the Treasury. We're not a huge Treasury. We started out at about 1.6, 1.7 million when the Shimmer price of that time, actually I could tell you we originally, the community gave us 27 million plus Shimmer tokens. The price, of course, has gone down. We have approved at about $355,000 in funding of that $3.5 million that was provided to us. And currently we have left at today's Shimmer value in dollars, $939,000. Or if you want to call it in Shimmer, $19,134,000. So we're really keen to see EVM launch. And what we found as the Treasury Committee was that the framework was kind of developed, putting us in this passive role. But looking at the framework, we can do like requests for proposals. So we saw like we weren't getting a lot of dev tooling grants. So we put a request for proposal. We wanted to empower the community. So we put a request for proposal for a content creator community, and two members put together a grant proposal. We gave 10% of the Shimmer marketing and content budget, not of the entire year. It adds up to about $7,000 a month. That's going to be airdropped. So anyone in the community can join this group. They can submit content. It's through Coordinate, so it decentralizes. Everyone governs itself. Everyone rates each other, and everyone basically decides how much of the each person gets. And that's really what we're here to do. We want to empower the community. We want to support the Shimmer and IOTA ecosystem growth in a positive manner. So that's such as being a little bit active and doing requests for proposals. The big one now is actually supporting DeFi. We know that the IOTA Foundation is really focusing the Shimmer EVM launch as a DeFi protocol that's going to have, because it's not linear blocks, then it can protect against the miner extraction value, the MEV. So there's definitely some advantages. We're not perfectly unique. There's other DAG EVMs out there, but we're certainly going to show that, it's scalable, low fees, and it protects the users from MEV. So we also want to support the DeFi aspect during the EVM launch. So we have a request for proposal for the DeFi major players, and especially reputation is one of those, and trust that has been around for a while. But out of our 900,000, we want to try to put a couple hundred thousand in the liquidity pools, because that seems to be the utmost like important during a launch. So, but yeah, ultimately we're here to support the community, empower them, and support the growth of the ecosystem in a positive manner with the community funds, and make sure as best we can, we don't get scammed and we do it efficiently and economically.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, JD. I appreciate it, buddy. So, all right. So I had some questions for you guys and anyone can just feel free to jump in. Like, don't be shy on this one, but we just had a testnet reset the other day. And, you know, it's the things that they learned through the Treasures of Shimmer campaign got implemented, things like pruning, et cetera. So we got a reset on the testnet. I know all of you guys kind of had to redeploy. How's that going? Like, what was your experience? Give me the honest experience here with the Treasures of Shimmer. Because I know I read through the Discord and I can, you know, kind of ascertain from the community kind of what the sentiment is. And I'm curious to know what y'all's sentiment is about the potential imminent launch of EVM, which I think is coming sooner than most people think. Whoever wants that, Alpha, JD, Doc, Mikey, jump in.
I can start. Do you hear me? Yes, probably. I think it was pretty. So maybe I can just share a little bit how it was for us, basically testing the full decks. Maybe people are interested about it. So I think it was pretty cool to have to have first time the opportunity to completely, you know, deploy the decks and to check out for us personally to test our smart contracts, but as well to see how the community, you know, receives it and playing around with it. And the most important thing for us is actually teaching and learning. This is what I said before, so that you know our community has the opportunity to test and play around with it without losing any money, right? You can just test everything out of it. But maybe to give you some stats, because I'm not sure if a lot of people are aware of it, it was actually pretty cool. So we had more than 20,000 real users on the DEX over time. Our DEX, I think, was live for 6 weeks or 7 weeks. We had more than 1.3 million smart contract interactions. So people actually have been really using it. We distributed 4.3 million of our test Loom tokens and we fully fair launched the token and everything worked pretty well. And, you know, several thousand people tested it, tried it out and gave us feedback. So this was really awesome. And from a technical standpoint, it was the first time that we were able to completely launch the DEX from zero to a full MEV version. And all the smart contracts and everything we developed was working flawlessly. So this was pretty cool. The fair launch worked pretty well. We actually even tested the launch of our token. So now I can sleep much better because when the mainnet is coming, we already know, okay, this stuff really works. Because you have only one launch, right? There are no several ones. For us, it was a completely MVP, so our minimal version. So, and we got a lot of good feedback. So basically for everyone who loved our MVP, will probably like even more our full version when it goes live on mainnet. And now with the new chain, which is now online, we are testing it right now. So we will deploy probably, or we already deployed in the last days, but there is not so much new to us because our decks already worked pretty well on the old chain. I think they had some edge cases, but they need to fix. But for us, everything went pretty well until the last minute they reset the chain.
So question for you, Doc, you mentioned you guys had 20,000, I'm assuming unique addresses that interacted with your smart contracts. If you had to take a guess, and I've always kind of had a number in my head, but like if you had to take a guess as to how big the IOTA, active IOTA community is, what would you say?
So on our DEX, I think like real users which are coming back and really testing and playing like 3,000 to 4,000 minimum. Mm-hmm. The testnet campaign was bigger because we had this large airdrop and, you know, a lot of people from Sealy came in and just, you know, like basically airdrop hunters. So they inflated a little bit, you know, the number of people using it. But when you really look how many people own a Lumi or participated in our campaigns over a year now, I guess 3,000 to 4,000.
Okay. And that's for you specifically. Now for the entire, like, I mean, unless you're assuming everyone in IOTA owns a Lumi, how like, you know, because I know there's like 70,000 or 80,000 people in the IOTA Discord, but it would be silly to think that they're all active, obviously. But I always kind of had a number in my head of like 10,000, which is significant. That's like a significant number. If you've got 10,000 active people on a network, like that's a shitload of people right out the gate. I know some of the bigger networks that don't even have that many. So, and that's kind of, in at least in my opinion, like a key to Shimmer's success is, how obviously how much liquidity it's going to get, how much support it's going to get from the inbuilt community, because once it gets that sort of support, that's when the numbers start taking off on DeFi Llama and CoinMarketCap and all these other places that are going to bring new people in, So I was just curious on that point. Alpha, did you want to jump in
Yeah,
on that?
I can just provide some, maybe not so detailed in numbers because I haven't really looked into it. I know that we had, maybe first a disclaimer. We had a really small and simple app where you can just buy and sell apes to collections. So I didn't really expect any kind of top places in the treasures of Shimmer. But what we do have is a strong community of degens. So a lot of community members just went, whole day of clicking, buying, selling apes. So that was pretty cool to see. And I want to thank the whole community who contributed towards this goal of achieving, getting these Shimmer tokens to the treasury and to the developers and also to the community members themselves. But yeah, so our simple app, we had over 4,000 unique users. So I pulled out the information from the Google Analytics. So I'm not sure how much unique wallets hit the application, that kind of stuff, because I'm not really interested in that type of detail. For me, the important part was to bring some load onto the website, onto the network, try to see the peaks, try to handle the peaks of the traffic, which the application, the whole structure of how we set up things, it worked perfectly both on Ape side of things and Shimmer C side of things. So I was really happy to see that we didn't have not even one issue with the technical side of things. So I guess that's why I want to, just take this win regardless of the whole drama that was happening, about the leaderboard and that kind of stuff. I want to leave this behind us and just focus on the really positive side of things, which is, the EVM test was a real success. We managed to, get people outside. Maybe I'm not emphasizing the numbers so much. We have unique, maybe 200, 250 holders of Ape NFTs. So when I say we had 4,000 people testing the app, that's really, really a lot of people to from our perspective. So I guess that's why I'm thinking that this was a major success, the whole EVM and treasures of Shimmer campaign. Yeah, and thanks to the IF for organizing this as well.
Yeah, I think for anyone that actually took the time to test, it was smooth.
Yeah.
It was very, very smooth. And probably, like, I don't know about you guys, I've only been, around this particular community for the last 9 months, but for you guys that have been around for years, and I'll kick this one over to you, JD, because I know you've been around a long, long time. But like what, it was a great feeling for me having been around for only 9 months and getting to know Dom and the other people at the IOTA Foundation and the work that they're putting into this. But like for somebody like you that's been around, since Christ walked the earth in the IOTA community, like what kind of an experience was that for you? I have a second part to this question that I was going to kick you anyhow. What is the biggest hindrance that Shimmer's going to experience to find adoption?
Yeah, I mean, I've been around since late 2016, kind of 2017, and I feel like I've been always just so focused on IOTA and Shimmer that I haven't really, I never played with DeFi. I never played with apps. I didn't even really get into the NFT because until, Sooniverse launched, and which was awesome, awesome on Sooniverse to develop all that on layer one as well, which was pretty impressive. But, we all played with Sooniverse for the last year, and it was fun, but it was almost like, you know, seeing all these other communities on Twitter and in the news and YouTube of just different applications, different dApps, and being able to do it all decentrally. I mean, it still amazes me that we can send, you know, money around the world without having to deal with the banks, you know, and it's instantaneous. Now we get it to the point where, you know, we're dealing with these global dApps that are decentralized on the internet, and it's just immediate, you know. And it was really fun with the Shimmer campaign to just be able to experiment, right? Like, rather than trying to, you know, I did try once just recently before the Shimmer campaign with the on a Ethereum dApp. And I mean, just for trying it, I think I spent $70 in fees with like four clicks, and I was like, holy cow. And so then I stopped. But then what this happens is I don't get the experience, right? I don't get the actual practice. So the Shimmer campaign was pretty cool, where I could actually just go to the faucet, get stuff, and have fun. And that was really what was pretty cool, that I don't think we've had that. We've actually experienced that in the community, where we just get to have fun, where we get to try out pools and try out this and try out that. And we're going to make some yield on some, and we might lose a little bit on the other, but we learn. And, you know, we're not paying hundreds of dollars in Ethereum transaction fees for that. So that's was really cool. I think also what was really awesome about this campaign is, you know, they did a lot of beta testing before kind of going full on with a not just a public campaign, but a public incentivized campaign. And, you know, they expected so much use. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but from what I heard, like, they got 10 times that. I mean, it was just way more, you know, than anyone thought. And what was awesome about that is, though, you know, the IOTA Foundation and the developers were just working hard, and the node owners were working hard to maintain it because the database was growing so fast, it did hold up, right? Like, it proved that it could hold up against the most massive stress tests in the sense. And it's like, if you had zero transaction fees, which of course transaction fees are there to protect the network, there was zero. You could just go to a faucet and get it. So essentially, we were all just spamming it, and then even getting incentivized to spam it. So it was really cool that it, one, held up, and two, they learned a lot, you know, and they're going to be able to make those edits. It is frustrating. I know, like, for us as a treasury, we have to have multi-sig to really take full control. There's a lot of things that we can't do until EVM is live. So we're, you know, on this edge of our seat, but I'd much rather catch these things in a beta test than, you know, launch full, get people into the ecosystem, and then hit these issues. So I think it was a success all around. Bringing people in, I think it's a tough one. I have to say, I talked to a lot of people in the community of, okay, what's going to be bring people in? What's going to grow the ecosystem? That's ultimately what we need. And I think that for me personally, and everyone seems to have a different idea, is that, one, we have to let people know. Well, how do we let people know? How do people start talking about it, right? And I think really it comes down to TVL. You know, if there's yield to be made, there's money to be made, which is the yield in DeFi, people are going to come. You know, I mean, make the field, people are going to come. Make the money, people are going to come for it. So I'm really looking forward to this DeFi launch. I think that, you know, we're going to be able to show the yield, we're going to have liquidity in there, that people will then start to say, hey, let me go over there and get make some money. Let me earn some money over there on some yield. And then they're going to see, wow, it's quick. There's a great community. I'm not getting hit by these minor extractable value, you know, losses, et cetera, and that it's a trusted network. So I'm really looking forward to the launch. I think personally, in the short term, to bring people into the community is to just get the TVL out there. And, you know, hopefully in that sense, if we get the TVL and we get people coming in and money flowing in, the price should increase. We see that with other DeFi launches and other protocols. If the price increase, the treasury increases. If the treasury increases, we get to fund more projects, and then we could start funding like GameFi projects, NFT projects, and just it becomes an exponential growth out there, you know. And I know you've seen that in, you know, the Phantom, and you've seen that in, you know, on the outside of other networks. So I'm like frothing at the mouth from being here for dang, you know, 5+ years. I want to experience it, you know? So it's been a long way. I know everyone's waited so long that I've been here forever, but it's our time. It's this year. It's not next year anymore. It's this year right now. So looking forward to it.
That's something I think a lot of people don't get. And I know that there's, correct me if I'm wrong here, JD, but I know there's a part of the IOTA community that's kind of like IOTA purists that are like, I don't get this whole Shimmer thing. Like, why in the hell are we doing this? But I know that, like, so the amount of support that Shimmer's getting out the gate is really insane. Like with, you know, ApeDAO, ShimmerC, IOTAB, TangleSwap, Deeper, Accumulator, you know, IOTA Heroes. There's like a lot of stuff that's launching immediately. When everything goes live. And we've got a lot of the building blocks for DeFi, like straight out the gate. So for anyone that's listening, if you've never been around at the like day one of a new network, it's a gold rush. it's a gold rush. There's always like a lot of money to be made if you've got assets to, you know, whether it's provide liquidity, lend on, you know, the lending platforms or whatever the case may be. But you had mentioned one thing, JD, about you didn't really participate in DeFi summer. You kind of just started learning about DeFi recently. Like, is that going to be a common theme around the community, you know, the core community that they're not going to be super DeFi savvy or doc or alpha? If you want to jump in, feel free to.
I think it's absolutely a fair point. And I mean, I think the Shimmer campaign, a lot of people learned. I know I talked to Lou and they're like, oh, I got it now. I'm ready, you know. And having that experience was great. And I hope that, and I think after this network reset that there'll still be some testing. And I think anyone out there that hasn't done it enough should, that's your chance to go and practice and see what makes yield, what loses you yield, et cetera, and start understanding the risks of it. I think that's great with, you know, AlphaRow and ApeDAO, where it's education. We're also looking for a grant has come in. Again, we're focusing on DeFi, and DeFire has a grant that came in. They're going to be building on Polygon, and really their UX is to make it almost as your grandma can use it, right? So rather than having to constantly manage your pooling and constantly managing your, you know, where you sit on the DEXs to manage risk, like their aspect is, hey, let's make this easy, almost in a sense, manage it for you. And I think between the more and more education we get, the more practice the community gets, and then the more applications that come in that make it easier for you to not have to, you know, sit at your computer like 5 days a week, where you can just put your money in, maybe set it in a pool, earn some yield, take it out, move it around, do some lending, et cetera, et cetera. You know, again, once that TVL comes in, once the price increases, it's not just the people come for the money, but also more third-party applications. Oh, hey, that's a huge community. It's exploding. The price is going up. Shimmer token is going up. Let me get in there, put my dApp in there, and then make it easier for people. So then it's just this exponential effect, more coming in.
So maybe I can jump here as well and can fully echo what JD said and what you said with your gut feeling, right? 10,000 people. And I think this number is pretty reasonable. And I think you're pretty right that a large part of the ecosystem in IOTA or the community of IOTA is not into DeFi yet. And for this reason, you know, having 4,000 people in the community online in the midst of a bear market is pretty solid. I think it's pretty solid. But yeah, there will be a lot of growth bringing people from outside into our, you know, ecosystem, but as well educating and bringing people from the already in the IOTA community to DeFi and, you know, are willing to play with you know, with the landscape of DeFi. I think this will be pretty cool. And I see a lot of growth there and potential to educate and to convince people joining us.
And I'd say, you know, some of the community, including me for a little while, it's, we've had a troubled past, you know, like IOTA Foundation really went for something huge, like Ternary and massive. I mean, probably, and I don't think that should be a negative thing when looked at, like just the fact that some creators tried to take something. I mean, it's almost like, you know, if Elon Musk didn't end up making space exploration economical and capitalistic, like just the fact that he tried is just awesome. And, you know, you talk to any basically successful businessmen or women, it's, you know, it's not about, oh my God, I might fail. It's about you fail and you keep going because you're going to fail no matter what. You're always going to fail. But when you do succeed, you really succeed. Yet over the years, we've, you know, as I said, we, a lot of us in the IOTA community see everyone else kind of progressing while we're just almost having to revamp everything. But we always stayed at the foundation of it, which is have a DAG, make it as flexible as possible with the network that anyone can come and anyone can use it. And they maintain that. But so a lot of us, I think, have this like, well, believe it when I see it. Like until EVM launches, oh, it's just a test. It's going to be another test network. It's going to be another test of another test of another test and another reset. But I think for me over the last year was very different from the 4 or 5 years previous. Like rather than just, hey, we think this is going to happen and this is our vision and we're going to do this in 2-3 years. It was like, okay, we're not going to really talk so much about what we think or what timeline. We're just going to produce it. We're going to produce it. We'll produce it. We'll produce it, you know? And during the Shimmer campaign, it was like, oh shit. Okay. It's quick. It's scalable. EVM is there, you know, I can only, I, you know, and then Sooniverse shows what you can do on layer one. And it still blows my mind, you know, I got to restake, you know, on layer one and I don't have to worry about anything getting hacked. Okay. Boom. I send my 0.005 Shimmer just to restake and boom, it gets time locked. You know, like time lock is something special to us. It's easy. And EVM is just going to be even easier than that and even more user friendly. So I think once Shimmer does go live after this EVM reset and, you know, knock on wood, there's no more major bugs like we found. Once people see that, then it's going to be like, okay, I waited 5 years, but it's actually working. And not only is it working, but it's freaking fun and it's quick and it's cheap. And I think really that is what will happen when it's tangible that, okay, we can put the 5 years behind us. You know, this thing's going to work. And then the next step is IOTA mainnet. And then the next step is CordaSide. And now there's a history and a, you know, a trend of the IOTA Foundation delivering. And I think that's going to be super exciting for the community and then the new people coming in.
Mm-hmm. Dude, you summed that up so well. And I think, you know, so like if you can get like, if you've got networks where people are just coming for the yield, that's going to be mercenary capital. They're going to come, they're going to hit and run, they're going to dump your tokens, and then they're gone, right? That's generally how that's going to work. But like, especially with the people that are even the most cynical in the IOTA community, they're still in the community. They're still there. They're still watching like what's going on. And if they, you know, when this all actually gets produced, which newsflash, it's happening, like it's coming. It's just a matter of when it actually does get produced and people test it out and they go, holy shit, this is actually working. They, like you said, JD, there's a win, you know, there's something in the win column for the IOTA Foundation now. Yeah. I think those converts are going to be the biggest mouthpieces for this personally.
Honestly, you know, I totally agree. And it's like, it's just going to be an exponential wave of the few that are like, holy shit, it's real. They actually did it 5 years. Yeah. And then just the feeling, the good feeling. I mean, I kind of had like a come to Jesus moment 2 months ago because I was like, do I want to like get excited? Because I've just been let down for so many times. But I was like, okay, but let's just look at it logically. Like what has been delivered? So much has been delivered. And there's a great trend here. So I'm just super excited. I'm looking forward to it. So, but you know, I do have one question, and this might be a good question for like Alfro and yourself and Dr. Tangle. So how do we balance, like we'll have the yield. I fully believe that there'll be enough liquidity, there'll be yield and people make money in the beginning. But if the mercenary, mercenaries come in to get that yield, is there a way, what should the community do to also protect themselves about that vacuum if, you know, once they come and go. And that's just part of all protocols. It's not like just one protocol. I mean, that just happens, you know, they're professional, they're large organizations. This is what they do. And, you know, again, it's at the end of the day, an economic, you know, playground in digital space, which is, you know, just of humanity. But can the community, you know, what would help us mitigate any fallout from that, like education or anything, or how the community can help each other? Curious.
That's a really good question. Alpha, you want to jump in?
Yeah. I just want to maybe give how I personally see it, not from the project perspective, like from ADAO or from Shimmercy, but me personally. So you have to always drill down the tokenomics. So who has the tokens which contain the underlying value? So in our case, we have the Shimmer token, which was basically airdropped to all the IOTA holders. So not much of the token was bought, or I'm not sure how to say, airdropped to big corporations or big players out there. So you can't really see the whale activity on the EVM itself, unless it's some valuable member of the IOTA community or Shimmer community. So my opinion is that you can't have this 3AC, for example, or VCs out there who are just lurking around and trying to find the next yield generator, right? So next chain where they will just come with their liquidity and dump the native token. I think this cannot happen on Shimmer, because the Shimmer token will be the main driver of the yield, because we want to build the liquidity around the Shimmer token, right, as a chain native token. So in Shimmercy, for example, that's why we built this kind of unique tokenomics, which will try to stop all of this, but I cannot share too much because Doc will kill me. But all of this, everything that we experienced in DeFi so far, that we saw on, or maybe in other words, that we used to do on other chains, we used all of this experience and knowledge, and we will try to stop it on the depths that we are part of, or that we are contributing to. But from the chain perspective, I think this is not really possible without these whales buying the token first. So that's at least my opinion, how the things will go, right? So if you don't have enough of the exit liquidity from the chain native token, then no, it's not really interesting for anyone but the token owners, right? So I guess that's going to be the main driver for all the other stuff, and that's why I think the mercenary liquidity will, you know, those guys will not be interested in buying lots and lots of Shimmer token just in order to come to the depths, you know, and try to farm native tokens of the depths.
What do you think, Doc?
Yes, I really like what Alpha said, and actually didn't even think about it so often, but it's actually correct, and it's really good. It's a good protection for us how actually Shimmer was distributed in the community. And by the way, the Loom token, so the native token of Shimmercy, will do exactly the same. So we will have a full fair launch, so no VCs, no pre-sales, nothing. So at our launch date, the people who participate in the fair launch will be the very first users who get the token. There will be no one first who gets it. And this will protect as well, you know, for whale attacks and, you know, for dumping and everything. But maybe I can just add another thing, what we will do to protect ourselves a little bit against it. And it's basically screening, and here Alpha will help us a lot as well, is screening each pool in regards to profit, right? Because each trading pool will have a specific amount of TVL, which is important to allow, you know, like large scaling trading, but it will have as well a specific amount of volume, and the volume needs to be in alignment with the TVL. Often you can see on other DEXs, they have a huge liquidity pool, you know, like 5, 6, 7 million in it, with huge incentive programs to boost this pool, but at the end, only like $1,000 of volume a day. So basically, this pool is not generating the right profit for the DEX in regards to how much incentive the DEX pays out to liquidity providers. And this is then a first indication that will not be sustainable and, you know, and will be dumped over time and then maybe and disappear over time. So this is one thing we will do for the DEX is basically screening each pool and seeing, you know, how the volume is connected to TVL. And then we will adjust our incentive framework exactly to this basically factors. And in this way, you know, the profit, so basically what do you give out for incentives and what do you get back is in balance. And this will keep the people providing their liquidity into the pool because it's a stable, you know, it's a stable earning rate and not inflated. Just one little thing. There will be a lot of other things you can do, but this is probably one thing we will do to protect the ecosystem exactly against what you said, Mikkel.
And I want to jump in real quick on this. For anyone that's listening that doesn't quite understand what's being discussed, really all we're talking about is big, you know, a lot of the time it's stablecoin. So big stablecoin movement that's coming from other chains into Shimmer to, you know, farm the high yield that may be going on and, you know, whether it's Shimmer C or Deeper or, you know, Tangle Swap or wherever the case may be. It's not necessarily, I'm gonna take the other side. It's not necessarily detrimental to the ecosystem, provided, like you just said, Doc, the pools are set up in such a way that they're incentivized well enough to get the necessary amount of TVL, but they're not over incentivized in such a way that it makes sense to move $1 billion on chain, right? And so, but there are benefits to that because there are Dune dashboards and there's DeFi Llama and there are armies of people that follow the liquidity. And if there is a big migration of liquidity, even if it happens for 90 days, we're talking about tens of thousands of people that are going to come over and try the chain as a result of that and trending on Twitter for, you know, a month straight and all sorts of just wild, crazy stuff that's going to happen. And I have no doubt that it will happen. And I think, you know, the way that EVM is going to be launched, at least from my conversations, is it's not going to be, you know, we're live, shoot the fireworks off. It's going to be kind of quietly turned on. We'll know about it in the IOTA community and we're going to start going, right? And then like the actual grand opening event might not be for 90 days or 120 days. And by that point, you know, I mean, everyone I'm sure watches the market obsessively like I do. You know, you kind of know what's going on with Bitcoin. You kind of know what's going on with the money flow and with the Fed raising rates and all sorts of stuff. I think it's going to put us in a really cool position. Because if we have, you know, the foundation laid of the Shimmer network, we have a couple months under our belt, we have dApps deployed, we have, you know, videos being released and AMAs and all sorts of cool shit. And then people come over and they start to see like this thriving ecosystem they didn't even know existed. That's the juice. That's when I think it's going to be really cool and fun. And so I'm here for it, man. I have to kind of wind us down. My little guy has a doctor's appointment. So any final comments, final thoughts, Alpha, JD, Doc, that you want to throw in there before we wrap up?
When EVM.
You know, I was actually given a date not too long ago that I think has been, you know, pushed back, no surprise. But I think we're closer than a lot of people think, especially with the redeployment of the testnet.
Yeah, and I'd say, you know, all that and helping educational videos, any content creators out there that want to do educational videos or support for DeFi launch or, you know, have connections to some of these dashboards, I think that's a great thing. I'm, of course, all about transparency. Our treasury is 100% transparent. I believe in transparency within governance. And if we have dashboards out there that people can easily see, you know, grandma can understand, oh, okay, you know, that's a $6 million pool, but it's two people. And if they pull out, if one of those pulls out that has 5.9 million, that pool crashes, right? So, you know, the Treasury is always looking to support DeFi, but also in the sense to help educate the community and you know, create those dashboards or get on DeFi Llama. So that's something that we're looking at from a financial side we can support. So throwing out there, check out tangletreasury.org if anyone has those connections.
Good deal. Good deal. All right.
Maybe one last comment, because you just said it. It's so exciting that we have the you know, opportunity to build a completely full ecosystem from scratch. This is so incredible cool. And for example, our launchpad is booked out for several months. So there will be a lot going on for the first, you know, for the first time when we create the chain. So this is pretty, pretty exciting. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Amazing. Amazing. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. My name is Austin with BlockBytes. Thanks for tuning in. The Spaces was recorded. We're going to go throw it up on YouTube, I think, afterwards, Mikey. Is that true? Don't make a liar out of me.
That is very true.
Thank you. Wonderful. Very enthusiastic response. All right, y'all. We're going to get the hell out of here. We're going to try and do these every Monday. Next Monday, I'm out of town. Maybe Mikey or Corval or one of you guys can jump on and do these. But show up. Tell your friends. If you have questions, bring them. We'll pull you up on stage. I apologize for having to cut it short today at an hour, but next time I will allot more time. My little guy, he's got some respiratory stuff, so we got to take him to the doctor. But other than that, we're going to get the hell out of here. Thanks for showing up, guys. I appreciate y'all.